Hello. Well, welcome to this week's episode of the Imaginary Movie Podcast, a podcast where, as if the Marvel Cinematic Universe wasn't enough to shove down your throat, eat it! we're going to delve into the Spider-Verse expanded universe, or whatever the fuck this could possibly
be
called.
The Sony-verse.
It's the Sony-verse. It's the Sony... We own Spider-Man, and we're going to milk every single drop of cash money out of this franchise as we can. We're looking at Marvel, and we're thinking, we can make shit movies. And boy, they can.
Did they give it a good effort? Hi, David. Yeah, you can claw Spider-Man.
Sam, I don't even think this is the worst movie they've made.
No, not by a long shot. There have been so many, though. They've made so many. Also, though, let's remember, Dave, this isn't a Spider-Man movie. Spider-Man has nothing to do with this film, and that's an important fact that we should remember all the way through watching it, thinking, is Spider-Man coming? Is he? He's not. Okay. Oh, are we sure? I mean, it's a Venom movie, isn't it? Like, but really, no, we're not.
It's like when you go to that party hoping someone's going to be there, and then like they're not, and it's like,
oh, Terry's coming. I love Terry.
Maybe they'll show up. Like,
yeah. And then Terry's friend comes along, and you were expecting Terry to come with. Hey, where's Terry? No, that's good. No, I'm glad to be here. It's great. Yeah, fantastic. Oh, fantastic. So that's us. And welcome to this podcast where we embody the very spirit.
Well, we're excited to see Terry.
Being Terry. Okay. Yeah, we're going to go with Terry. Dave, so. Somebody made us watch this movie, and I'm absolutely disgusted.
Sam, 18 months ago, we put a moratorium on the blame game, okay? even though you're the piece of shit, right? even though you're a subhuman piece of garbage, right? I am not going to bring it up because I've got too much class. We put a moratorium on the blame game. There's no blame game. As usual, I'm happy to have watched a movie and to be talking about it with you. We don't need to play the accusation game. We don't need to
acknowledge that
you're obviously mentally fucking damaged.
Right. So we're not acknowledging that. We don't need to address the very point.
We cannot allow that on the podcast, Sam. We agreed.
We cannot allow it. So we're watching Venom 2018. It's action sci-fi. Tom Hardy and some other people as well, which probably not particularly worth mentioning. Now, this is one I watched. I chose because
you're a fucking masochist.
Yeah, yeah. But I also have a
the man who shouts the loudest about not being interested in the MCU and not having any time for any of the MCU is like, oh yeah, the Spider-Verse stuff. It's got to be better, right?
Because I am kind of invested in a very, very small slice of 2018 Spider-Man movies, which is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which came out the same year as this. Now, I think that is one of the best films I've ever seen in my life. Like, I think that is so good. And I watched it in like 2021 thinking, oh God, all right, it's cartoons. And then just couldn't stop looking at it and like watched it like 3 days later because I was just like, wow, superhero movies can be good. What? Terry, superhero movies can be good. You know, like we are
just... Do you know anyone called Terry? Have you ever met anyone called Terry or Terrence?
I just like it.
Of course you haven't. You know Mr. Stamp? You don't know Stamp.
So then I'm looking going, I wonder what else is going on there. Now, I haven't seen a lot of the other Spider-Man movies, the Homecoming, Away From Home, in whatever they're called. Haven't seen a lot of those yet, and I do want to get to them eventually. But I thought, let's start with something a little bit out there, a little bit that's not just Spider-Man. Let's start with Venom and see how good that... It's not good, is it, Dave?
You know what We will get to the Venom, but I want to drill down into this stupid fucking Sony-only Spider-Man. It's fine, actually. Actually, those Spider-Man movies with Tom Holland are fine. Anything else with Tom Holland is fucking
the historian,
garbage.
Tom Holland.
The Spider-Man.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Tom Holland, is that his name, right? What's his name?
Tom Holland is the also the story.
It is Tom Holland. You've made me question the basis of my own reality.
Yeah.
Anyway, those movies, actually, confusingly, if you go on the Wikipedia article for the fucking Sony Cinematic Universe, I'll find the name. It's even stupid.
The Sonyverse, the Sony...
No, Sam, it's not clever. It's just stupid. And the Spider-Man movies, I think, are separate. I think the Spider-Man movies are like they're a Marvel Sony joint production, and they're part of the MCU. And that's because Spider-Man appears in those movies. These Sony movies is the Sony's Spider-Man universe, or the SSU. Maybe shouldn't be doubling that S up, Sony. I don't like that. I don't like that in the year of 2024.
What could you possibly mean? But hold on, because the S no, this we're not saying it. The Spider-Man universe, the Sony Spider-Man universe. What? That's only.
So I'm going to read the films out, right? Venom, the second Venom, Morbius, Madam Web, and there's another Venom coming out.
This week. Madam Web as well.
Morbius and Madam Web. I haven't seen either of them. I nearly watched Morbius because I quite liked the character from the 90s cartoon. I thought it was fun, like, oh yeah, like a Blade crossover, yeah, that's cool. And then they're meant to be some of the worst movies of the last decade.
Wikipedia: Madam Web received negative reviews from critics who panned it as a quote embarrassing mess and the worst comic book movie yet. 12% Rotten Tomatoes. Madam Web has.
And there are some bad ones. Like Marvel's made some clunkers, and these are the and DC's. There isn't a good DC movie. And this one, and Madam Web, is the worst, apparently. It's shocking. But...
So, hold on.
It's kind of this weird separation where...
Morbius,
Marvel
though.
Doesn't own the rights to
Morbius has 15%.
Characters.
Morbius has 15%. The first Venom, I think, that we've watched 30 has...
30 or something.
30%, which leaves Venom, Let There Be Carnage, with a grand total of 57%. So we are like you're still doing this. You're still trying, Sony.
To defend, I haven't seen the second Venom movie. To defend the 57, though, I think 57 is fine. I think you can have a perfectly cromulent movie, and 57% is like a reasonable like.
It's 7% above average. Yeah.
Not everything is Goodfellas. Not everything is. I'm trying to think of a movie that's not a white guy movie. Not everything is Parasite. You know. Not everything is that, like...
Yeah.
Not everything is a 99% movie on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, sometimes a 57%. DC would fucking kill for the average of their movies to be 57%. They would take out a hit on you tomorrow if they would
tomorrow.
Achieve that.
Sound. However, right, however, let's also talk about that. I think the MCU... God, we always talk about the fucking MCU. But the MCU is amazing because it is, like... As much as it's sprawling, it's generally pretty good. Like, overall, you would say on balance that they made 40,000 all right movies. Some of them are really good. Some of them are shitter. But there's probably
the baseline,
only
the baseline's
a handful.
Good. They make a good-looking movie. It's usually pretty well edited.
Tied together well. You know, fantastic. But there is an intentionality to this, to that type of work that I think is... Very, very difficult, requires huge amounts of money, huge amounts of investment in terms of just understanding the stories and knowing how to tie them all together. And let's have Ant-Man in and, you know, for 12 seconds and let's bring him out. And
knowing how to make a good movie, I think the DC cinematic universe,
yeah.
Like the big thing there is they know the characters and they know exactly the stories they're telling you on the screen in comic form or in cartoon form, which is how I enjoy my comics. Are really good. However, like, you kind of need to also make it a movie. Like, it's one, you need to know the source material, you need to know all of that, but then you also need to adapt it to make a movie that people are going to go and watch.
Mm-hmm.
And Marvel is really, really, really good at that. They took a fucking basement-dwelling superhero, Iron Man, and they turned him into the biggest cultural fucking icon of the 21st century. It's phenomenal. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And
to be fair,
that's the key to the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, but to be fair to Sony though, they kind of they kind of have done this because they've done it in Spider-Man Homecoming, Spider-Man Far From Home, and Spider-Man No Way Home, which I know are like MCU, but it's a licensing agreement with Marvel, with Disney, Marvel and Disney, to say, we're going to let you have this character so you can integrate them in, but we're also going to keep them separate from the Venom thing. Now, let's swinging it back to the Venom shit show. Like, I think you said this in our discussion beforehand, and I was waiting the whole time. Where the fuck is Terry? I need him at this party. I need Spider-Man. Where's Spider-Man? Like, why aren't... Where's Poochie? Because we need to have Spider-Man just slightly referenced in this movie, if nothing else. But actually, I think fundamentally, if you're going to a total rewrite, you have Spider-Man be the antagonist of this film. You have him be the baddie. You frame it in a way, you twist it, and so actually we are rooting for Venom, we're rooting for Eddie Brock, because Eddie Brock, to me, as a character, the character that Venom takes over, is a fucking punchline in every single other movie, in every single Spider-Man movie. He's the jock photographer who's fighting Peter Parker. Sup, Peter? Sup, Parker? And he's sitting there and he's being a dickhead to Peter.
You
and
are
then
right, though, Sam. He gets his comeuppance. The key thing to Venom's popularity is... like, it's that 90s, because Venom's a reasonably recent fucking licious and nerdy shit. Turn this off if you have a life, please. Like, Venom's a fairly recent, like, Spider-Man villain. He's not like a 1930s, like, he's not Kingpin or someone who's like a 30s archetype that was, you know, still somehow resurrecting. He's not the Rhino or the fucking crocodile. Is that Batman? Anyway, irrelevant.
A man in a rhino suit or a man in a crocodile suit.
Exactly. Venom is like a 90s fucking like grunge like anti-hero. He's an alien, he's psychotic, he eats people, you know, yeah. And he was a wildly popular character when he was really in the comic books. Again,
May 1984.
Sub us nerd shit. We have a podcast. But yeah. And so they've been talking about making a Venom movie since the characters, because the character was hugely popular, the sales of comic books were amazing. Which is why we got the Spider-Man 3. Have we done that for the podcast?
I think we do, because the one with Sandman, the one with too many baddies in it, yeah.
The one with like seven, the one that's 14 hours long with 17 villains. And
oh my, yeah, I'd forgotten about this, because my whole complaint of that is that there's too many baddies and we don't get, Venom gets no room to breathe. And it's like, there's your movie. There's your fucking movie, Spider-Man 3 in 2000 and whatever.
What I was giving you some props for was like the key to the Venom character is kind of like the... I've said this before on the podcast, and frequently fans will know that I'm a piece of shit. And there's a tiny part, or large part of me, a tiny part of everyone who's just a fucking vile, hateful individual. You know, you walk down the street and someone's smiling. Like, what's he fucking smiling about? Why is he having such a fucking good day? And everyone has a little bit of that. And the Venom character catches that, because the Eddie Brock character's like that with Spider-Man. He's like, the fuck does Peter Parker have everything? I've got nothing. Why has this fuck got everything that I want? And the Venom kind of like symbiote is kind of like the, yes, he is a piece of shit. Let's kill him. Yeah. And there's something very engaging about that. Even though it's like irrational and like in the reality of the story, Spider-Man isn't the villain, but in the like the psychosis that exists in Eddie Brock's head, he is. And I agree, Sam. I think a film where we see Spider-Man only as Spider-Man occasionally being the quote-unquote villain, kind of like the Joker movie, like, let's make it from Eddie Brock's point of view and let's skew the entire fucking world towards, like, you know,
Eddie
everything
Brock
that goes on this guy's head is presented as reality, even though we know it's not. He's a psychotic lunatic.
Eddie Brock turns up to a house fire, you know, and he's like, he's finally got Venom slightly under control and he thinks he can do it and he's going to go in there and he's like, listen, Venom, like, just don't, we're not going to go full Venom. We need to save the people. Come on, we can do this. And Venom's like, oh, okay, whatever. Like, whatever, that crazy voice. And then he runs in.
Great impression.
Thank you. And everyone starts fucking losing their shit because, oh, fuck, it's Venom. And then Venom's like, oh, I'm going to, let's bite people's heads off. And he's like, no. And then Spider-Man shows up and like, and poor Eddie Brock's like, no, I'm trying to help these people. Just get out of the way. And then Venom's losing because Spider-Man's here. And I'm like, there's so much potential here. But that's
what the movie should be, because Venom is like the Punisher, is an anti-hero. He fucking goes and murders people, which, yeah, like, it's fine in a movie. Like, we in the 2020s, we fucking love a movie about someone who goes out and slits throats. We love it. It's great.
Just as you were saying, you know, you're walking down the street and you see it. What the fuck, you smart? You're walking down the street and you think, I just want to fucking murder that person. I just want to cut their head off. I know we all have this thought.
Right here,
we?
Officer. You're... Right here. Over there. That's right.
But as I've been thinking about this, and I think it's very apparent the reason why we can't have what I'm asking for is because, then it's just a Spider-Man movie and people are going to go see a Spider-Man. We'll call it Spider-Man Venom. And, you know, and it'll just be...
We can't have it, Sam, I think, because, like, it's too much of a risk. And I think that's the ultimate problem with all of these movies. All of these DCU movies and all of these SSU. Again, doesn't feel
Stop
great.
Stop it, Sony. Stop it.
Please, Sony. All of these things, the problem is that they don't want to take the risk. So they will make the most baseline vanilla movie because they want to get that like 9 to 12 range because it's a big money maker. And that, so everything is so safe and I don't think this is a bad thing. Marvel has proven that you can make really interesting movies, and there are some really good Marvel movies that kind of toe this line. But I think the Venom movie has to be in the Deadpool sphere, where it's like an R-rated movie. That's going to be like, you know, the kids are going to see it anyway, but that, you know, that's going to be where you live. And for some reason, they're so averse to taking that risk, even with characters like the Punisher and like Venom, who are fucking like murder. They're anti-heroes. You can't have a fucking nice family movie about Venom. He bites people's heads off. That's his thing.
That happens in this movie.
He does it twice in this movie.
He bites someone's head off in this movie. Right, so
three times.
Right.
He eats three people in this movie.
I know. So there's a couple of things you brought there. One, the age range, 9 to 12. I think this is probably about that, but it is quite scary. There's elements
it's slightly up, but like a 10-year-old could go and see this.
Sure, of course. But I do think, like, so number one, they're kind of trying to go there, but the problem is that it's just side. There's like, this movie is sandwiched by two very boring pieces of bread in Act 1 and Act 3. And I think that gives...
Tom Hardy bread.
That gives you, I think, a lot of problems. The other thing, and this is... it's just rife with all superhero movies, is that you're going for an origin story again. And I do feel like if you want to try and attract a younger audience, if you want to try and attract, you know, people who are going to be vaguely interested in this character, like, just skip ahead, just cut Act One. And from reading the reviews of the second movie, it appears that's kind of what happened, is that the second movie is like, hey, he's Venom now, and we don't get to have to worry about how we got here.
The most interesting thing about this character is the fact that it's two people talking to each other inside Eddie Brock's head. That's why it worked in the comics. That's why he was popular in the comics, because it's this like split personality where Eddie is like comes across as a deranged lunatic because he's always talking to this thing in his head. And those parts of this movie, I think, are pretty okay. That's the strongest section of this movie. The first 40 minutes bored the living shit out of me. Oh, it's Tom Hardy. His girlfriend's left him because he can't fucking do one. He can't do one thing where he doesn't attack this person. One singular interview, he can't fucking lick the shoe once.
Yeah.
And I'm sick of that archetype in movies as well. I am sick of somebody whose fucking morals are so strong. We get it all the time. It's like, oh, but I couldn't possibly, like, contravene my morals once. It's fine to fucking steal stuff from your girlfriend's laptop, but it's not okay to do this interview, which your job wants you to do, that ultimately gets you fired and your career's over and your life's over, and honestly, this CEO's going to take a hit out on you, and also your fiance leaves you and loses her job, and you're like, but surely you could have just fucking sucked it up for 25 seconds and asked this guy about puppies or whatever.
But I did what I thought was right, And that's more important than financial security in a very,
white
very
savior
difficult...
Tom Hardy is going to fucking out this billionaire as a bad guy. I'm like, he's a billionaire. We all know he's a bad guy.
Yeah, this is Elon Musk. So yeah. Yeah. Let's... We're very animated by this movie.
Do you want to talk through the plot a little bit? Let's ground us a little bit and
let's ground us.
Not hugely strokes, but I do want to hit on the other rest of this cast because there's not many people, and I think generally people in this are doing a fine job.
It's fine. Everything, yeah, like it's okay, isn't it? It's okay. It's not great. It's not good. The characters are poorly written generally, but it's fine. So I said we've got a Venom slice of salami. You know, with a nice coat of perhaps mustard.
You're
or
really
going to
fucking push this sandwich metaphor, aren't you?
I'm hungry. Let's. And we've got Act One. We've got Act Two of this movie. And Act One is, as you said, let's just feel sorry for Eddie Brock, who's kind of like, I don't know what I don't know what he wants. I don't really understand him. I went in there going, this is Eddie Brock. He's kind of a bit rough around the edges and a bit, you know, he's. But like the whole point of him in the rest of the Marvel thing is that he's pissed at Spider-Man and pissed at Peter Parker. Like that's his whole drive.
Yeah, the whole thing.
And
is
so
that
and so I think it's just the last point is it, like what does he want? What's his motivation? And what does he want to see at the end of the movie? Like that's what I'm always asking about a character. What does he want to see at the end of? What's his goal? And he has none. Eddie Brock is a vapid goofball in this movie. He's a goofball. That's a weird thing for your protagonist to be. Do you not think?
It's weird that, and it's lazy. It's lazy filmmaking. We're constantly told, and we get a few clips, we're constantly told that Eddie Brock is this amazing investigative journalist. And I'm like, it's 2018. We haven't had any amazing investigative journalists since the fucking 70s. Like, Google Watergate, that was the last time we had good investigative journalists. We don't have them on YouTube exposing fucking anything.
Yeah, it's too expensive.
But he doesn't show us that. He doesn't show us, like, it would have been nice to have, like, us see Eddie Brock maybe be a bit of a greyer character. Like, he's this investigative journalist. We see him investigating something unrelated. And he's using, like, really fucking bad moral methods. Like, it's some PI movie. He's breaking into places or he's stealing stuff or he's, like, outing information he knows will, like, hurt other people. And he kind of does that, but not intentionally. Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe he like, talks some scientist into giving him some information and knowing it's going to get them fired and their fucking family's going to die of cancer or whatever. Like, he still publishes it. Like, something to show us that this guy's kind of like...
Or an achievement.
Mostly after the attention and the glory of being an investigative journalist.
Yeah. Does he achieve anything in the first portion of this movie? Do we get to see that he's actually quite an impressive person? No. We pretty much just get to see him being a loser, hacking his girlfriend's laptop, and
does he hack
they
it
were talk-
or does
they
were- he just open it and open the email?
He hacksawed it. He just types in her password and goes into her emails and just completely violates it.
Keep your password safe, girlfriends out there. You never know when you've got an Eddie Brock on your hands.
Like, what are you doing, dude? And I think there's, again, we're kind of still at like, okay, why is this guy impressive? He's a loser. He's pretty much a loser all the way through the movie. And let's get to the meat. The meat, the bit that I liked was the second act where Venom's inside him and we get to see Tom Hardy actually doing a pretty good job of trying to embody both of these characters, and he's very physical and he's flailing around like he's some kind of puppet, you know, like it's
yep.
Fun
I like
and
it
it's engaging.
I like the look of the Venom. I don't like the look of the other symbiote things, but I like the look of Venom. I think they've done a really good job on that. The fact it's so big, I think it's something in the Spider-Man 3 that I think it was just slimy and greasy and weird and little, and it was Topher Grace. He's 4'9", but in Tom Hardy and it's in the Venom thing is so big and threatening, and it's a good piece of CGI. But as we always say, like that's kind of not noteworthy now. Like, we really only mention CGI when it's bad.
Yeah.
But it looks good. It's the most fun when they're talking. I will say that I think this bike chase goes on for about three times as long as it needs to. I don't know whether you agree.
The bike chase. I'm trying to remember just anything, really.
So when he first gets infected with the venom thing and he's at home and the scientists show up to...
Oh, yeah, the cool fight scene. The fight scene's good. The cool fight scene. I like the fight scene.
And the bike scene, I think about... I liked all of it. I think maybe cut that in half or two-thirds off because it just went on forever.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like another thing these movies do. It's kind of like a... Actually, if you cut that down, it still could have been really cool. And then maybe could have had Venom and Eddie Brock talking to each other a bit more, maybe a bit more pathos and more fun. Like someone throw a pie. Like we've got drones fucking blowing up cars with blue
explosives
all the way down. And I was like, what are we doing? What are we doing all here?
I hate all this incoherent action, the incoherent action scenes that we get in this movie. I really dislike. I felt discombobulated. I felt like I had no grounding or connection to what's going on. And again, to give some of the MCU credit, like as much as we do get the big punch fights later on, actually,
boy, do we!
Some of the scenes in Iron Man feel like you feel the explosions, you feel the, you know, like. It's physical, it's real, it's grounded, and all this huge swinging around, whatever city there is, it's San Francisco perhaps, it's just...
Well, it's, and I think there's 75 9/11s in this city overnight, and it's like, it's too much. Like, by the way, you always laugh so much when I say that. It's a joke from Team America. I'm referencing Team America.
I know it is, but it's just funny. Because it's so accurate.
It's still true. It's still
atrocities.
True. Like, you could have a smaller movie, like, eventually we're going to bring Spider-Man into this universe. And, like, you're not calling Spider-Man, oh, hey, Spider-Man, I know you're, like, a New York guy, but we're going to put the spider signal up because there's a fucking alien loose here, you know? And maybe just make it smaller. Maybe let's not blow up fucking four city blocks.
Hey, Spider-Man, you're going to give Iron Man a call and get him to, like, just whip you across country? Like, he'll just drop you. Like, I mean, I know the problem is there's not that many high buildings in San Francisco compared to New York, so he'd kind of be walking around, like getting taxis and stuff, maybe. Let's talk about pacing. I've got a question for you. Why do movies find it so difficult to correctly pace? Because I think this is the big problem with this film.
I think it's what we've already touched on, Sam. I think it's... The first act is bloated. I think you could have established what we established in the first act in two or three scenes.
Get to the money. Get to the venom.
Have the symbiote. Like
inside Eddie
Brock. Front load less. I hate the spaceship at the beginning. It's kind of like a... And we're always cutting to this symbiote, who I thought was Venom for almost the whole of that 40 minutes, by the way. This one in China that's infecting the people and moving towards... eventually it infects the kid and goes to America.
I've forgotten about this. This is so pointless. So literally,
The edit in this movie is trash. And I think what happened was they looked at it and they said they obviously spent a lot of money on the chase scene, so that's why it's so long. And I get that, it's fine, but it's indulgent. The 40 minutes at the beginning, you need to have Venom in this movie by minute 14. I genuinely think that's as late as you can have it. Like, it's the Venom movie. Get Venom in the fucking movie.
But that alien that lands in China and it's cool, like when the woman just wipes out all those people, it's amazing, right? But that is the whole point of this character, to literally travel across continents, is to infect the billionaire at the end.
It's to have something to do while the rest of the movie's happening, Sam.
How did you know?
Fucking so stupid, because the rest of the movie's happening.
I know. It comes down to pacing, and I think I'd love to have more time to really delve into this question, because I think pacing is probably for me the single most important thing for a movie. Even if your film is long and it's you know, there's so much going on, like look at Goodfellas. It's a long ass movie, but the pacing in it is perfect because we get to have those adventures and we get to have the downtime.
There's two things, Sam, in making a movie that really, really, really heavily impact the pacing. It's the script and the edit.
Yeah.
Right. And if the script's really, really good, you can get away with having a sloppier edit, and you know, you still hit those beats. You still hit those pacing beats. And if you get a good editor, who are we always talking about? There's an editor we're always talking about who works with
Scorsese's editor. I can't remember her name.
And like, yeah. If you get a good editor, then I think it allows you to do what they do in these movies, which is obviously film probably like fucking like what would be a 6 or 7 hour movie, and then cut most of it out. And I think if you have a really good editor, you can do that, and you can still maintain those important beats and have a good, well-paced movie. Mm-hmm. And I think the editing in this is fucking trash. I've got more stuff on the editing. I just think it's lazy, and maybe the filming was a bit too diffuse, and maybe their script changed while they were filming it as well, because there's so much stuff in this movie that's set up and then never paid off.
Never paid off.
It's just kind of forgotten about, and...
So Thelma Schoonmaker is the Scorsese editor we're talking about, and I remember now that she's got this great quote, which is "Stay ahead of your audience." In the edit, as soon as they start thinking, "I wonder where that cut to it," and I think that's exactly what this movie is like. You're just so far behind because the audience is like, "Cool, yeah, Venom. Where's Venom? Where the fuck is Terry?" Like, we're getting, give us what we want. And I think you really struggle for that.
It's also completely lacking the emotional beats that you kind of need in a movie. Like, let's take Iron Man, for instance. Like, Iron Man, he's a billionaire playboy.
Hold on a second. Let me ask you a question. What is Iron Man's primary emotion? What is Tony Stark's primary emotion?
His daddy didn't love him.
Absolutely. There we go. Nailed it in one. And so, but we also get secondary emotions. You maybe say he's a bit cavalier, but underneath there is a soft center where he wants to save people, and that's where.
Well, there's the emotional arc, isn't there, in that movie? And so it hits those beats quite well. We have the low point when he's like being captured and he's going to die because he's got this thing in his chest. And again, we're all fucking mortal, so this mortality thing appeals to us. Yeah. And then we kind of ride that into his realization that actually, I think I want to be a force for good in the world, and that's the culmination of
second
fighting
question.
The bad guy. And yep, go on.
What is Eddie Brock's primary emotion what's he feeling throughout this movie? And I'll give the answer. The answer is just utter fucking confusion. And like, we get maybe one fight at the end. I think I remember one fight where he feels like he's a bit more in control of the Venom, but it, really, it's just kind of Venom doing stuff. And Eddie Brock is this carrier, you know, that's all he is.
Which means that they kind of throw a lot of shit at the wall to try and get us to try and give this character
emotion,
like something, because pathos. Because they've got 40 minutes, but they don't bother to establish something. So we kind of get his attempt to, like, he wants his girlfriend back. He wants He wants Michelle Williams back. And I actually quite like Michelle Williams generally. I don't think her and Tom Hardy have tons of chemistry in this movie, but like, I kind of get their inclination to kind of like, because it's so old. Shakespeare was doing this shit, like, oh, we'll just have like be a romantic plot, and he wants his girlfriend back, and blah blah blah. But he doesn't seem to really want his job back. He doesn't really seem to want his girlfriend back. They put in a weird ticking clock in the middle of this movie where Venom's killing him, and then they seemingly forget about it, and it doesn't come up again.
What is that about?
But it's an attempt to give us something as like, oh my god, we've got to resolve this. It's something the audience doesn't know, and like, this is going to be the revelation: is either that he'll die without the Venom, or that the Venom decides not to kill him, or there's some fucking MacGuffin, and they don't. They just forget about it. So we spend so much of the time when we first get infected with the Venom, the symbiote, being like, he's eating you alive, and we see all these other people getting eaten alive and like being evil, and then we just forget about it.
But what does he? But this is again, we could have something there. You could say, well, what is it that Eddie Brock is able to bring? Where's the strength that he can bring to this situation, so that he can actually, I can tame you, I can harness you? And the answer probably is, but go buy the next movie, because it's going to be, we'll talk about it then. But it's like, in this early stage, the middle bit that I enjoyed It's kind of like the Gollum talking to himself edit, which is genius. I love that in Lord of the Rings, but like it's funny, and it doesn't last for a third of a movie. so we get to kind of move on.
Well, it's funny because it establishes Venom as a character, and I know it sounds daft in the Venom movie, but the whole point of the comic is that Venom and Eddie Brock are two different characters, and their interaction is funny because they share a body, and one of them is an alien that eats people, and one of them is a fucking loser who couldn't do his job properly, and that's funny and clever, and the movie just isn't. And Venom in the third act is like, I like it here. There's fucking boobs and chicken wings. I love it. And that's the fucking conversation. And you're like, and then we don't really even have a baddie. And we've talked about Eddie and Venom enough. Then we don't even really have a baddie. The movie has to scrabble in the last 20 minutes to turn Elon Musk, to turn Indian Elon Musk into fucking Super Venom. And it's like, again,
he's too obviously doing this Elon again. Musk.
It's the hero, but bigger again. We didn't learn our fucking lesson in those heinous Superman films.
Yeah. I know, because your antagonist is the Venom all the way through this, up until we discover there's actually a better bad guy that's now taken over the most obvious villain you could possibly imagine. Like this billionaire should just be blown up in one of his rockets, just like hopefully in real life, and then we can all move on and be happy with our day. And there's another Venom, okay, there's another symbiote thing, fine. But like
Ahmed, by the way, who's a really good British actor.
I think the actual performance is pretty fine. I want the character to be bigger and bolder and to be doing more stuff, but I think the performance
is okay. I want it to be 15% more shit eating.
Yes, and more mustache twirling. Maybe give him a mustache, he could twirl. But again, all of this is like, we go into the very fundamental problem is that you've made a movie based on a antagonist. And how are you going to resolve that? How are you going to give us something to hope for Eddie Brock? How are you going to give us the connection to him? And the answer is, we're kind of not. We're just going to make him silly. Well,
because ultimately, Sam, the decision, I think the right decision, was to not have this movie culminate in a big punch fight. I think ultimately, this movie needed to culminate in an emotional high point. And an emotional high point where Eddie and Venom decide to like that they're better together for whatever reason. You have to write around that.
They decide to make another movie. It's coming next summer. That's what they decide.
But I think ultimately these studios need to have the confidence to say to a director and to a writer, like, okay, this is the Venom movie. We can't just make Superman again. That's a different franchise. But we can't just make like fucking that X-Men movie again. Let's try something new. Let's try and have this character kind of like come to a realization and have it not be a punch fight at the end. Maybe we use this sound thing to separate them, which we do in the movie once, but maybe we do that a little bit more. Maybe we give Michelle Williams something more to do that's actually fucking useful. And like, let's have that be the conclusion of this movie. And then it's kind of like, and next time on Venom, which we also get, but like, and then I'm interested, and I'm like, oh, I actually would like to come back and see what Venom and Eddie are going to be up to next time. Rather than thinking, like... If Venom's going to be fighting just another... Because I think the Carnage is another symbiote. Like, if Venom's just going to be fighting a fucking different coloured symbiote, like, am I really interested? Like, I've seen that, and it was boring. Maybe let's try something else. And
it comes down to the thing is like, should we have Venom movies? Like, should this be a thing that we are going
absolutely, Sam, fucking make whatever you like, but like, let's also try and make a good movie, eh?
So let's talk about the movie watching experience of this. So I watched this mostly last night, and I was getting a bit tired. It's like, you know, coming up 12 o'clock, I'm like, I've got to just leave it there. And it was 1 hour, 28 minutes left. One hour, 28 minutes through the movie. And this is a 1 hour, 52 minute movie. And I was like, oh, well, I'll just catch the rest of it, 20 odd minutes, something like that. I'll just catch that later. Maybe tomorrow on my lunch. And that's exactly what I did. So I went to bed with what I thought about 20 minutes left of the movie, press play at my lunch, and then was exceedingly surprised when this movie ended, credits rolled at 1 hour 32. So if I just stayed awake for another 4 minutes, I could have finished this movie, which means we have 18 fucking minutes after the credit, after it says directed by so-and-so, that we've got the credits, we've got...
It's weird as well because the timestamp says it's 113 minutes. Like on Wikipedia, it says 113 minutes and it's not.
It is though, because what they added was a post-credit scene, which I was like, I'm not even engaging with that. What are you doing? Which is obviously just because they're just setting up the next movie, barefacedly just setting up the next movie. Then we get the actual credits, which go quite slow. And then we get a good, at least more than 5 or 6 minutes of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which came out the same year.
Yeah, it's just like, it's not even really a trailer. It's just like...
It's just a scene. It's the train scene from that excellent movie. And I'm like, I'm sorry. You can't just lie. You can't just lie about how long your movie is. And it suggests to me that there is something going on here with the editing. Tom Hardy did say there was lots of stuff cut. I can't imagine it's... He said 40 minutes worth of content cut, which would get us close to maybe where we're looking at a decent length.
It's funny though, isn't it? Because can a movie be 92 minutes long, right, which it more or less is, right, something like 92, 95, something like that. How could it be that length? And then at the same time, there's so many, like, the fight scene at the end is too long, the bike chase in the middle is like 45 minutes long, the first segment with Eddie Brock is way too long. Like, how bad... And I don't think it was bad. I think they cut a lot of the other stuff out, either because it was confusing or not, or an executive said it's not interesting enough. And I think so, they probably shot a lot more scenes, a lot more talky scenes, and that's what got cut.
Or darker. My theory is that it was darker, and then it was more about the tortured mind of Eddie Brock, and, you know, we're not making Memento, guys. We're making a stupid comic movie for idiots. Like, please, like that to me is where it must come down. But I was actually like, this is fraud. You can't just add that on, because I guess maybe a 90-minute movie isn't saleable, and maybe they thought that they need to have more in there when people are going to the cinema. They're looking at the runtime, thinking, "Ah, it's only 90 minutes. Like, I want a 2-hour experience because it's a big tentpole feature."
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment, and I think it's like, yeah, there's that value thing, isn't there? That, I mean, we love fucking 90-minute movie.
Oh, 90 minutes. I was delighted. I just wish I'd say that an extra 4 minutes.
88 minutes. You can call my biography can be called 88 minutes, because that's the perfect length for a comedy movie. It's just you're in and you're out. Anyway, and at the same time, I watched Once Upon a Time in America, which is all 4 hours long. So the rules aren't the rules.
You're inconsistent, and I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it, Dave. I want every...
It is a weird thing, and I think you're right, Sam. I think it's that they wanted to get past the 100-minute mark, so they made a really long set of credits. And I'm like, couldn't you just shot some, like, I don't know, good scenes and then put them in the movie?
Yeah. I think it really does. This is a good example of where I think you can see the editing cracks. You can see the issues that have emerged from what you would say is... Like, I guess there's a good idea here. You know, there's enough here to say, actually, Venom's an interesting character, and I would be willing to explore his role. But I kind of want it to be alongside the characters that I know and love, and I would or just make a fucking TV show, which is you know, probably what they'll do.
I actually enjoyed this movie reasonably. I don't think it's a very good movie, but like,
after everything you've just said.
No, because I think you can enjoy the act of watching a movie, and I liked enough about this movie where I wasn't looking at my watch thinking, like, what the fuck am I doing with my time and my life? Which we sometimes do. We have had movies like that. And this wasn't one of them. It was bad. Not quite bad enough to be, like, a good bad movie. But more of a, I kind of wish they'd done better at that, and I kind of wish they'd done better at that. I'm not sure if I'll watch the second one, but I didn't hate this at all.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is actually, like, quite high praise for this movie, that I didn't hate it.
I think it's
did you hate it?
I think I kind of did. I think because I, as much as we have our rules for the movie, which is number one, don't ever be boring.
It was a bit boring,
but it maybe didn't tip over directly to that, just because I think the visuals are interesting enough. Tom Hardy's interesting enough as, embodying Venom and all that stuff. Some of the action was pretty cool. All the kind of stuff that you want from this, I really did try and go in with that attitude of, like, you know, if I'm watching a Van Damme movie, I'm shoving popcorn in. I don't give a shit. I am just, yeah, well, this is great. This is fantastic. Look at all those strings and wire everywhere. Like, I tried to go in with that attitude thinking, it's just a stupid comic movie. Just enjoy it and try not to be so up your own ass.
I think it's because,
and then immediately, I'm like, the editing's terrible, and look at this horrible, and I'm like, oh, I can't save myself.
I think my thing was, I was expecting so little because I knew it was 30% on Rotten Tomatoes, and I remember when it came out thinking, well, I'm never gonna watch that, and I remember the backlash about how bad it was. And so I kind of, like, went in expecting to hate it, and then actually was a bit pleasantly surprised that I think there is a version of this movie which could be, if not good, at least kind of like the baseline average for a superhero movie. I think there really is the moving parts of this movie. I really like. I like Tom Hardy. I like Michelle Williams is fun. Dan Egan from Veep is the boyfriend. I love him. Just have him in more things.
Also called Dan, which meant I was just like, well, it's just the same character, isn't it? It's just the same character.
Same character, yeah. And then also, what's her name? She's fucking not. The scientist is Jenny Slate. The scientist who kind of, like, rings Eddie Brock and gets him in.
Yeah, the whistleblower.
And she was in Parks and Recreation for 5 or 6 episodes. She plays, what's she called? She's like, she's the Fonz's daughter. He has a son and a daughter who appear in that TV show.
Henry Winkler.
Yeah, Henry Winkler's daughter. And she's playing such a, like a vapid, spoiled, like, party girl, but also kind of, like, scummy. And it's so different to this role that I didn't realize it was her until I saw it.
Yeah.
And I always love it when an actor can do that, because guess what? That means they can fucking act.
Yeah. They can pretend to be someone else. It's acting.
And like I said, it's nice to see Riz Ahmed in Hollywood movies, because he's, like, a really British actor. He's been in tons of British stuff. He's in Four Lions, I think, is the one big thing I know him from.
Yes. That was way back.
But, so again, like, there was enough of that I was kind of into.
I wouldn't
recommend this to anyone who wasn't a degenerate loser like us.
Let's not forget, before we finish, this movie made $856 million off $100 million budget, roughly.
Yeah, which is why it's got 2 sequels.
That shuts us up, doesn't it? This is what people want. This is what they want.
I don't think it stopped us yet, Sam. And we talk about this every week. And every time we say this movie was shockingly bad and shouldn't have been made, we look at it and it's like, oh, but it made fucking $400 million.
But it made loads of money. So people know what they want. People know what they want. I know what I want, Dave, and it's this. Yes,
I have
welcome.
No idea what we're doing for the quiz this week. I haven't prepared anything.
Well, don't worry, Dave, because I've got you. It's not a quiz. It's a personality test. That's right. We're going to test your personality, Dave, and just find out if you're more like Venom or Eddie. So let's get into it as the music concludes perfectly. First question. Now, this is good. This is a good quiz. Thank you, BuzzFeed, for this. you need, as your first test in this personality quiz, is to tell me what's your favourite Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire or Tom Holland? Now, there are quite a few questions, so don't linger too long.
Tobey Maguire, because I'm old as shit. And
you want Tom the OG.
Holland's a bit annoying. He's a bit annoying. I know Tobey Maguire's also annoying, but Tom Holland's like a bit... He's a bit of a snot-nosed kid. And
Tobey Maguire was closer to our age now when he made Spider-Man.
I know. So. And that's part of the magic of those movies, is 40-year-old people pretending to be in high school.
Yeah, well,
Steve
there is
Buscemi
no
in that Saturday Night Live sketch. Hello, fellow children.
So, as this isn't a quiz, there are no wrong answers. But somehow, you got it wrong. I don't know. It's weird. Pick a word that describes you, Dave. Curious or uninhibited? Now, I don't know which one is which. Which is the Venom? Which is the Eddie Brock one? Curious or uninhibited?
I think I'm quite inhibited. As a rule, so I'll say curious.
Oh, curious. Pick a Tom Hardy movie, The Dark Knight Rises or Mad Max Fury Road. I know what
Mad
I'd
Max
pick.
Fury Road, what a movie.
There we go. Right, so
I can't wait for the sequel to be trash,
of course.
I'm excited.
Yeah. Pick a non-MCU Marvel movie. This is quite a good question. Blade or X-Men? Ooh,
that's a difficult one. Do you know what? I'm going to say Blade, purely on the basis that it's a lot less watered down by trash than X-Men. There's so much bad X-Men stuff.
There's just so much X-Men stuff. Like, that's a huge catalogue of, like, almost like Fantastic Four movies as well. You know, like, pre-Marvel, Disney, they were just swinging wild, Francine. Pick a time, day or night. Day or night, Dave?
Night.
Oh, it's always night, isn't it? It's always night. Pick a reformed villain, Loki or Nebula.
Oh, was it Karen?
Yeah, so Gilead. Loki, Thor's brother, or Nebula, Gamora's sister. Look at that MCU knowledge.
We're doing the sibling game.
Shut
Loki.
Up, fans. Loki, okay.
Shut up, nerds.
So these are the 1, 2, 3, 4 questions left, so we can delve into these a little bit more. Pick your preferences, vegetables or meat?
Meat.
Why? Tell us
Sorry
why.
Sorry to out myself as a carnivore quite so quickly.
No, any elaboration on that? Just meat. Straight into meat. All right.
Meat.
Okay, this is a good one. Pick a Woody Harrelson from Cheers or Tallahassee from Zombieland. So he plays a character called Tallahassee. It's going to be the Cheers one, isn't it? It's going to be Woody.
It's going to be the Cheers one. It's going to be Woody.
Yeah. Fresh
Woody
faced.
Harrelson playing Woody Harrelson.
Fresh faced.
Fresh faced. Bald as a plucked chicken.
Yeah.
Even in the 80s when he was in Cheers.
Pick a drink, water or beer?
Beer.
Tell it why. Do you not want water? You don't want life-giving water, or do you want to have the hangover
right
giving
Right this second.
Beer?
It's night. You know, I'm hanging around with Woody Harrelson.
You like night.
Cheers.
Yes, okay. Oh, I see. I like the connection. All right, we'll do it. We'll go for beer. And this is the last question. I also want to talk about one more thing just before we conclude afterwards. And this image is reminding me. Pick a Venom movie. Is it Venom, the one we just watched? Or is it Venom, Let There Be Carnage, which you haven't seen? But I'm still going to give you the choice. Which one would you like?
I'm going to say Venom. There's something I want to mention based on that last question.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll just keep this podcast going forever. Venom. And so... let's find out, ladies and gentlemen. Is it Eddie Brock or is it Venom for Dave? What's your personality more like? The winner is... It's Eddie! Well done, Dave. You are curious, sometimes to a fault. You like to follow your gut,
if
which means you don't...
say so.
always think before you make big decisions, but it's led you to some important relationships. You have someone who's always by your side, for better or worse. That must be me. And you're not afraid to take risks.
I was going to say, it must be you.
Some have accused you of being selfish, but your heart is always in the right place. Oh, that's lovely. Do you feel
those character
enriched?
Traits somehow attributable to Tom Hardy in this movie? Because I think those scenes
are cut. Sure. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's a... What, Dave, it's a BuzzFeed personality quiz. I mean, honestly, what more could you possibly want?
I don't know. The thing I want to mention, because it's brief and it's uninteresting, because I'm a degenerate nerd. The second movie is called Venom Let There Be Carnage, correct?
Yes, that is true.
Correct. I'll do
nothing. Why are you asking me?
I know correct.
Tell me I'm right.
In this movie, right, I know from... like being a loser that the Carnage symbiote is the red and yellow one, and the red and yellow one in this movie, like, Riz Ahmed quite clearly tells us it's died, and I'm like,
maybe they were lying. I don't know
maybe, I don't know how they're gonna write their way out of that corner in this second movie.
I'll tell you, it's probably in the post-credit scene that neither of us watched.
I actually went back and watched the post-credit scene, and it's a really boring scene of Tom Hardy interviewing some sort of serial killer played by...
Oh, who cares? What I would like to mention is an amazing scene. Probably my favourite thing in the whole movie. In fact, definitely. Maybe the most favourite thing I've ever seen Tom Hardy do, which is to get into a fish tank and eat a lobster. This had a real vibe to me of, like, Tom Hardy phoning his agent afterwards and saying,
"It's played by Woody Harrelson." Sorry.
Well, that'll be why he's mentioned in this set. There we go. Frank, if I, like, I feel like I made a mistake here. You know, I'm in the fish tank. I'm eating raw seafood. This feels like I'm gonna just be. This is gonna kill my career. This is gonna kill my career doing this, because that scene in the restaurant where he's losing his shit and there's food everywhere, I just think it's glorious. Glorious. And why didn't we get more of that?
I don't think it's too bad, Sam. I mean, Sean Connery did Zardoz. Google that after the podcast. And his career survived that. Google the man thong that Sean Connery is wearing in Zardoz.
I think that could only have enhanced his career.
Emma Stone
did
Poor Things, and she still has a career. You know, like, it's not the same.
She won an Oscar. Tom Hardy didn't, though, for eating fish. For eating lobster in a fish tank, sat there. You know, like, some of this is really gross. Anyway, I think we have concluded. You're going to get an applause again.
So did I win or did I lose? I don't know where we stand there.
Let me just check what the survey says. It says... Oh, that's a big loss. Sorry.
I thought it might be that.
Yeah, it's, there we go.
Felt like it was coming.
Well, I think the gloriousness of this movie is only surpassed by our fantastic ability to talk about it. We threaten this every week, but should we watch the second one? Or should we go do something a little bit more engaging? What do you think?
Do you know what? I actually don't mind either way on this one. I don't have a strong opinion.
You don't have a strong opinion.
I can watch the second one. You want to fucking go down this road, Sam? You want to drive at each other as fast as we possibly can so one of us blinks? I'll do it.
I think we can do it, and I think the only people who are going to get hurt is us. So let's go.
Not me, not my pretty face.